Wonderful Jesus. Will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9, please. And let's just read two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for all that is happening under this roof this morning. Even as thy blessed Spirit moves in our midst to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the children and the leaders in the creche and those who will look after the babies this morning. Let them know, Lord, that their work and labor for the kingdom is not in vain. That your word may drop into the hearts of these little ones, that it's a precious work for the kingdom of God. Father, for those who are unwell and in hospital, we pray that you would bless them this morning. There's many down with coughs and flus and infections, Lord. We pray your hand to be with them. Think of our brother Glenn Pollock with his heel and ankle broken, Lord. We pray for a speedy recovery. You'd encourage him. There's many, Lord, that need your touch, even in this place this morning. We ask you, Lord, to meet them at the point of their need. And Father, take your word. And Lord, may we be devotional to your Son this morning. Lord, if they don't already love him, may your people love him and see your wonder and splendor and beauty and sovereignty in all things. We love you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. To say that we would be devotional this morning means that we would gather around the person of Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus himself. And while he is always centralized in all things and should be in all that we do in the house here, if it's in a prophetic message, he is to be centralized. If it's around the table and about sacrifice, he is to be centralized, Christ-centered. And if it is in worship, he is to be centralized. He is to be the center of glory and the center of our lives and hearts in the ministry of this house. To say that he is wonderful is an understatement for us this morning, but I don't think I'll do it justice. It was Alison had said to me a few weeks ago in the prayer meeting on the Wednesday night, there seemed to be a theme about Jesus being wonderful in the prayers, and it was more of a worshipful prayer meeting. And there was scripture read, just what we have read even this morning, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. And Alison couldn't get it out of her head, and she says to me one day, we're driving in the car, I can't get that word wonderful out of my head. It's just funny, I was thinking about it myself. She says, would you not bring something on it and preach on it? I says, well, sure, you do your own study on it. She says, no, you do it and let me know. I says, okay. So I've pondered over this, thought about it, and I don't think I'll ever be able to do it justice, but we'll see what the Lord gives us this morning. Wonderful. The word, English word, is mentioned 21 times in your King James Bible. And I sort of thought about this, and I thought, I'm going to look what does a dictionary even say about the word wonderful? Well, Chambers Dictionary, I looked up the synonyms of Chambers Dictionary for the word wonderful. A synonym is really something that, a similar word. And this is what they come out with. It means fantastic or marvelous or terrific. I looked up the vocabulary dictionary and they wrote extraordinarily good or extraordinarily great. It means miraculous, astonishing, incredible, tremendous. And then I looked up thesaurus.com and they said wonderful means admirable, amazing, awesome, brilliant, excellent, fabulous, magnificent, outstanding, phenomenal, remarkable, sensational, and superb. Now, if you use these synonyms for the word wonderful in relation to our Lord Jesus, what about fantastic Jesus? Fantastic Jesus, or extraordinary Jesus, terrific Jesus, or extraordinarily good and great Jesus, miraculous Jesus, astonishing Jesus, listen, incredible Jesus, tremendous Jesus, admirable. Well, how we admire him. Admirable Jesus, amazing Jesus, awesome Jesus, brilliant. He's brilliant. Excellent Jesus. Fabulous Jesus. Magnificent Jesus. Outstanding Jesus. Phenomenal, remarkable, sensational Jesus. Superb Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful. Notice his name. His name shall be called Wonderful. The word name there in the Hebrew text is the word shame, or it's very closely linked to shame. Shame or shame. And it means this. One's renown, one's fame, one's glory, one's reputation. And hence, his name shall be called Wonderful. His renown, his fame, his glory, his reputation shall be called Wonderful. Fantastic and marvelous and terrific, extraordinarily good and great, miraculous and astonishing, incredible and tremendous. His name is admirable, amazing and awesome and brilliant and excellent and fabulous and magnificent and outstanding, phenomenal. His name is remarkable, sensational, sensational and superb. This is told us even 700 or so years before he's even born. That's tremendous, isn't it? Isn't it tremendous that, and his name shall be called Wonderful. What will every What will Israel think of him? What will the people think of him? What will they think right down through the years, right down through time to this day and age, and coming into 2025 from 2024, around this sort of time of holidays and Christmas and all of that, what will the people who know him, who are washed in the blood, who love him, what will they think who have had fellowship with him, had spent time with him, had these Christ encounters with him? What will they think of him? Well, they'll think of his fame and his glory and his reputation. They'll think of all of this. His renown is that he is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. What if I just stopped preaching now? Just here and now. That would be enough, wouldn't it? What if I just said he's wonderful? And every one of us should say in our own hearts and minds, amen. He's wonderful. He's altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among 10,000 to our souls. And not just 10,000. The text really gives the idea of every and any 10,000 that he's measured up against, he is the chiefest. Think of it, 10,000, he's the chiefest. And then bring another 10,000, and he's the chiefest. Take another 10,000, and he's the chiefest among them. Another 10,000, he's the chiefest. He's altogether lovely in everything that he is, and all that he does, and in every aspect, and all of his ways. He's absolutely wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Counselor extraordinaire, it means. Counselor above counselors. He's the, not a mighty God. He's the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, or the Father from eternity. And he's our Prince of Peace. One who stood in the gap, one who hung on a cross, one who bled and died for an enemy toward him such as me and you, that we might be saved and forgiven. He's made peace between us and his Father. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus. Revelation 19 and verse 10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is the spirit of prophecy in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's all prophecy. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. This spirit of prophecy testifies of Jesus. And every prophetic word in your Old Testament of your Bible, every single jot and tittle of law and word and proverb, he has fulfilled. He's the Word of God. And so the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isaiah 9 and 6 is the spirit of prophecy speaking of, testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the spirit of prophecy say? The Holy Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. In Psalm 119, you can turn if you'd like with me. Psalm 119, I'm not going to go through too many of these because there's so many of them. Psalm 119, the word testimonies in the plural. Notice in the plural, testimonies. There's a word study for you over the Christmas period. Psalm 119, verse 2 starts off the very first of the testimonies of this psalm. A psalm with 176 verses in it. Longest chapter in your Bible. Broken up into 22 portions of 8 verses, which is 176. Broken up into 22 stanzas they're known of. And each stanza represents a Hebrew letter. Each stanza represents a Hebrew letter from the first Hebrew letter, Aleph. And you can go right through. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And it goes right to the very end or the last, the 22nd Hebrew letter. And there's 8 verses in each stanza. But strangely enough, although not in every stanza, there is 22 times the word testimonies is used. 22 times testimonies is used. This word speaks of this wonderful Christ, this wonderful Jesus. And the first time it is used here is in verse 2, but let's read verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. There's the way for a blessed man and a blessed woman. Keeping the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next one would be in verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. The next one is in verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. When we look at this, brothers and sisters, we can go across 22 of these, but look at the testimonies, and what it speaks of is the character. It's the word, the testimony, the truth of the word, the very character of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps all of these. He does all of these. The psalmist is writing these through the spirit of prophecy, and it's testifying of wonderful Jesus. It's speaking of wonderful Jesus. And you do the study yourself and you seek out the 22 testimonies in the plural. The word testimony in the singular is only used once in Psalm 119. And it's in verse 88. And you can do the study of these and think of how Jesus has done all of this. The testimony of who God is before David, and David then coming into line with Christ. He's so wonderful through this that the psalmist writes about it, that it's all about his word. It's all about his testimony, because your word, as they say, is your bond. Listen, if your word is no good, if you tell someone something and you promise them and you don't keep the promise, if you make a vow and defer to pay it to even people, they think little off your word. You can't be trusted. And yet the psalmist says, thou hast put thy word above all thy name, all your fame and reputation, all your renown and all of your glory. That's what the psalmist means there. For you've placed your word, and Jesus is that word. He's the embodiment of all of this. And we find here, when we look at it and read it, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and the man Christ Jesus, he fulfills every single jot and tittle of all that is said of him in the Word of God. He is the very Word of the Father. I'm going to look a little bit on the Word tonight, time willing. The Word made flesh, so I don't want to dwell on it too much. But if you look at through Psalm 119, it goes with the Aleph. And the very last stanza, the 22nd letter, is the Tav. Do you know what they have what's known as pictorial, pictographs, you call it. And each letter has a value in numerical value, but each letter in the Hebrew alphabet also has a picture, a little. It was way early how they spoke before the letters all came forth. It was like the Egyptians had hieroglyphics. It's a picture for every letter. I'm going off a little bit here, but the very picture for the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. It would correspond with our A, and the Greek would be Alpha, but the Hebrew is Aleph. And the second letter would be Bet. It's where we get, it's Aleph Bet, or Alphabet. And the picture, the pictograph is an ox head for Aleph. And it means father, strength of the house. And when you go away to the very end, one of Tav, the 22nd letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and the word is Tav, the very pictograph, you know what it is? It's a cross. It's an actual cross. Here we have the Father in glory, and it finishes with the cross of Christ. And Jesus fulfills it all because he's wonderful. Because he's absolutely magnificent. Aleph would be in verse 1 of Psalm 119. And Beth, where we'd have, you know, like Bethlehem. Beth Shemesh. It means house. And it's a little picture of a little house, sort of a shape, in the Hebrew pictograph. And it means the Father is the strength of the house. And our Heavenly Father is the strength of this house. This shows us the wonder of Christ. All of this is wrapped up in the person, the beautiful Son of God. The beautiful and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. So that in Psalm 119, the word testimonies is used 22 times. It speaks of the character of Christ. The very character of him, that he's wonderful. It's not only just his testimonies, it's his work. Psalm 40 in verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works. In Psalm 119 and verse 129, notice, thy testimonies are wonderful. So the very testimony and witness of Christ is wonderful. See, the testimony and witness of how he lived a sinless life. He was impeccable, the spotless Lamb of God, did no sin, knew no sin, was yet without sin. Miraculous ministry, we believe it. But what wonderful works, how wonderful is he to die at Calvary for us? You want to see the wonderful works of God? We love to see the wonderful works of God when the terribly sick are healed. We love to see the wonderful works of God when we have a great need and it's met by God, and every one of them are wonderful. The Red Sea, what a wonderful work of God when Israel passed through it. But you want to see the real wonderful work of God? Look to Calvary. Look to the cross. Look to him. So Psalm 119, verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. In other words, the psalmist is saying, the testimony of God, my soul can't forget these. And how can we, brothers and sisters, forget such a wonderful Savior? Forget such a wonderful person as our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Psalm 40 and verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You're so wonderful and you've done so much for me, Lord. I try and remember them all, but sometimes I forget, and that's the truth. The wee hymn, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done, isn't it true? We forget. In our hard times and dark times, we easily forget. And so there's wonderful testimonies, there's a wonderful work. The wonderful testimonies is Revelation 19 and 10, where the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But if you want to turn with me, please, to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Let your eye run down the chapter to verse 12. Listen to this. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now notice this. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Notice here, the wonderful works of God are not always appreciated. Religious establishment here didn't appreciate the wonderful works of God. And the wonderful person of God is not always appreciated. Sometimes God moves in mighty ways and wonderful ways, as that he works in such a way that many people can't take it in, many people can't handle it, because it's too magnificent and wonderful for them. And these men looked and seen how Jesus healed the sick, and they actually give off because he done it. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel the church has lost the wonder, their wonder at Christ. I feel we've lost our reverence before God many places, but I feel we've lost our wonder at him, our astonishment and our amazement. I feel many of us have lost our devotion to him, and hence we've lost our wonder about him and our astonishment at him. It begins in your heart with the devotion between you and him. You and he. And that's where we see the wonder of Christ, the wonderful Jesus. And sometimes we're not in that place where we've come to a place where we've pressed on and pressed through until we have broke through and entered in. And we've no wonder on amazement anymore, on astonishment at Jesus. And sometimes we just become so ritualized and ritualistic and in our lives and in church, in the meeting. And the wonder of wonderful Jesus has left us. See, honestly, if we realized, I'm talking about me too, by the way, but if we honestly truly got a fresh glimpse of, even maybe a first glimpse of what we were really like before God and what it really took for him to send his son and what he really did when he paid the price to save us. If we just got that little glimpse of him, this place would be on fire. We would be on our faces. We'd fall upon our knees in tears and in love and in awe and in wonder at his splendor and his beauty and his magnificence and his glory and his renown and his fame. Who else could save somebody like me? Who else could move in such a wonderful work and do what he'd done when he died at Calvary for us? There's none else. Read Revelation chapter 5. They shouted across all of heaven. They searched across all of glory. Who is worthy to loose the seals? And they opened the book thereof, and there was found none worthy. And we're told there was weeping across all of heaven. They wept across glory. Then an angel comes to John and says, he's weeping too. Well, there's no crying in heaven. Well, there is in Revelation chapter 5. For none was worthy. It meant that man was hopeless. Man was dead in his trespasses and in his sins. Every single one of us were on the broad road to destruction. Some were on the good side and some were on the dirty bad side. Some tried to walk the middle of the road, but nonetheless we were all on the broad road to destruction. And an angel says to John, weep not. How can you stop weeping when souls are going to hell? And one of them is me. Huh? There's none worthy. Listen to what he says. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. They open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Jesus is the only one who prevailed. Step forward, the God-man. Step forward, the Christ of God. Step forward, his only begotten. And he goes to hang and bleed and die for a guilty, vile wretch like me. And I'm saved. And heaven no longer has tears. And neither should the saved of the earth. You see, he's wonderful. He's wonderful, Jesus. You know, the religious couldn't even see how wonderful he was here. He's wonderful in knowledge. Psalm 139, I'm going to have to wrap this up because I've went off topic or off line and time is flowing. Psalm 139, if you're taking notes, we can't read this, but you look at Psalm 139 when you get a moment to yourself, and from verses 1 to 6, it speaks of the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The omniscience of Almighty God. That he knew me. Everywhere my feet would take me. Everywhere my foot would tread. Every den of iniquity. Everything to do wrong. Every sin to commit, every thought in my mind and wickedness of my heart, he knew me, the omniscient God. And yet he still came for me. Yet he still came for you. That's why I'm saying this morning, brothers and sisters, he's wonderful, Jesus. Would you say amen? He's wonderful. When you get time, from verses 7 to 10, you can write there, the omnipresent God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Even when I was in my sin, even when I sat in shebeens and pubs and clubs, even when I was at my lowest and my worst, the omnipresent God was there. That's why he's wonderful, Jesus. And thirdly, from verse 11 to verse 13, he's the omnipotent God, the almighty God. Verses 11 says, and if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. This almighty God, even the darkness is like daylight to him. Remember, Jesus walked upon the waves of the sea out to rescue the disciples. Didn't walk in the shallows. Job chapter 9, I think it's about verse 10. He speaks of the omnipotent God who cast all things out and upholds all of the stars in the planetary system and so forth. And he speaks about those things. And he says, you hold Arcturus and Orion. And he says, and Pleiades. And then he says, who treadeth upon the waves of the sea? The testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. He walks upon the waves of the sea. Elohim, Jehovah, Almighty God, in his omnipotent power, he says, I'm coming down to rescue men on a boat. I'm coming down to rescue a wretch like him. Oh, he's wonderful, Jesus, brothers and sisters. He's wonderful, Jesus. I'm getting all Pentecostal on you here. Verse 13 to 18, he's the omnibenevolent. The omnibenevolent God. Verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Notice marvelous. See the word marvelous? It's the same Hebrew word for wonderful. Wonderful works you made me. Even in the mother's womb. Talk about, and the Word was made flesh tonight. The Word was made flesh. You know, we talk about these things. Here's a question for you. When do we claim the Word was made flesh? In Bethlehem? When was the incarnation? In Bethlehem? No. The incarnation started in the womb. Imagine, a body hast thou prepared for me. Right in the womb, when even it takes technology now to let us see. God was there. God was present. God was visible with it. And God made it. From the smallest to the stars. He is wonderful, Jesus. Oh, tell the children to come up, please. I have to close here. I feel I'm just getting into this, but that's the way it goes. You know, in Judges 13 and 8, Manoah, Samson's daddy, had a visitation from an angel, and then it ends up, it's the angel of the Lord, or it's a theophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, God expressing himself forth in theophany. For man to see and behold this but without being consumed. And they're actually worried because they think they're going to die afterwards because they've seen God, they say. Although it says an angel, then they say, we've seen God. Surely we'll die. But Manoah, looking at this marvelous character, know what he says? Manoah is wanting to know, what is the brilliance about this person? There's something different about this person. And it says in Judges 13 and 18, the angel of the Lord said unto him, he asked the angel, what's your name? And he says, why askest thou after my name? Saying it's a secret. There's so much in here. You wouldn't be able to understand my name. You see, this is the one standing before Manoah, wrestled with old Father Jacob all night, remember, and he hits him in the hip. This is the same Jesus. And he's looking and he's saying, why are you asking after my name, seeing it's a secret? You know what the word is there for secret? Saying it's wonderful. He's saying, you can't know my name because my name's wonderful. My name's wonderful. Praise the Lord, we have a name to know now, don't we? And thou shalt call his name. What did the angel say to Mary? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Psalm 118 and verse 23, it says, this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. See the word marvelous there? It's the word polal, where it's the root word for wonderful in Isaiah 9 and 6. This is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. You know what it means? It's so wonderful, it's totally separate. Gives the idea of separation. He separates this. In other words, this is the Lord's doing because I couldn't do it and you couldn't do it. This is the Lord's doing it because nobody else could do it. It's like the tears in heaven. There was none found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Behold, the land of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Separate! Only God could do it. And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came, God in the flesh. And he separated us off. You, brother, and you, sister, and myself, you and I are the work of God. We're the work in creation, but we're the work in salvation, and we're his work in separation from the world. See, if we had chandeliers, I'd be expecting you to hang from your toes in them. You'd be cramping in your feet with it. Brothers and sisters, will you stand with me for a moment? The kids are coming. Children are making their way up. His name is one.